Hello, and welcome back to NBR, National BART Cop Radio. This is Tommy Mack reporting live and direct from Los Angeles with a special report exclusively for BART Cop Radio listeners. At the beginning of this year, I traveled to jolly old England, and BART requested that I do some interviews to gain a British insight into the state of America. While in the city of Nottingham, I interviewed three different locals of various ages and political backgrounds for broadcast on BART Cop Radio. Today, we'll listen to the first one. Right now with me, I have another dear friend of mine from the British Isles. Could you state your name, please?
My name's Hugh Smith.
So, Hugh, do you mind me asking what your age is?
I'm 57.
57, okay, that's good, because we interviewed someone who was 20 and 69 and 57. We're trying to get the whole demographic represented here. First off, do you take part in local or national elections?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. Do you mind me asking who you voted for recently?
I voted for the Labour Party in the national elections.
Which would be Tony Blair?
It would be, indeed so.
Would you say you mostly vote party line, to say Labour, or sometimes you look at the issues, especially if they're local?
I guess I'm mostly national issues. I'm what's called in this country New Labour, which is kind of soft left politics.
We call that Bill Clinton.
Yeah, moderate. I think that would be a very good comparison, Bill Clinton style politics.
Okay. Well, do you keep up with American politics, speaking of Bill Clinton?
I try to. Yeah.
Well, what do you feel about the 2000 election?
I think the perception in the UK was that the man who got in by something you could call a fraud, or you could call luck, and it's not clear which it is.
Would you say that's the majority opinion of most Britons?
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, now going back to Mr. George Bush, the man who many of us think is illegally holding Al Gore's residence at the moment. How do you feel about George Bush's performance as president? And let's not get into the war on terrorism yet, even pre-9/11, the domestic issues.
I think his performance has improved post-9/11. I think he was floundering a lot before then. He doesn't have the charisma or the easy manner of Clinton, nor of Reagan, although he's adapted, I think, some of those mannerisms in recent months.
Probably one of his bigger feats while he, pre-9/11, of course, were the tax cuts, which many of us felt went inordinately to the extreme rich. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I think we felt that in this country that what his agenda was basically to promote tax cutting so that the Republican right, particularly the richer individuals and companies, benefited at the expense of the other sectors of society.
How did most Britons feel about America going unilaterally out of certain international treaties like the Kyoto Treaty and the ABM Treaty?
I think we feel pretty bad about that. The perception is that America thinks it is the number one nation, which economically it certainly is, and therefore it can make up its mind about what it should do without reference to any of its friends, and maybe some of its not-so-friends. In other words, it doesn't really care about its position in the world. And I think the perception over here is that that's really wasteful and wrong, and rather than just being standoffish and saying, we're not going to take part in Kyoto because it's not good for our industry, rather it would have been better to adopt a, what can we do to make this work? And they didn't.
So now, let's jump into the nitty-gritty here. What are your opinions on the war on terror?
Well, this is a short interview, so I don't have room for all of them.
Generalized feelings first. Before pre-Iraq, how about that?
What happened 9/11 was terrible. There's no getting away from that. What happened since, is that a justification for what happened in 9/11? I don't know. I think it's too hard.
Like I constantly say, it's very difficult to have a war on a technique. Terrorism is a technique. It's been employed recently by the IRA here in the British Isles in multiple spots around the world that have nothing to do with Muslim fundamentalists. Yet we're not going after those terrorists.
Yeah, I think that's really the crux of the matter. I think our perception is that Americans, particularly the current government in America, sees things very much in black and white, and that firepower wins battles. Absolutely. But does firepower win the peace? And the answer is absolutely not. And we have learned that in this country with the troubles in Ireland over the last 30 years. We thought through a succession of governments in the latter part of the last century that we put more troops in and we will clear this matter up. And just the reverse, it exacerbates it. To win the peace, you have to think more than just putting in troops. You have to think in terms of cooperation and partnerships. Absolutely.
It's really good to get this insight because, let's face it, you British, you have a bit of history when it comes to this.
Well, I would hardly say we're great role models for what we did in some of our colonies.
I think every modern nation has its dark periods, if you will. Moving on with the War on Terror, the first thing, of course, the United States did was attack Afghanistan and replace the Taliban. Now, a lot of people in America think that was justified because Taliban was, you know, a regime of warlords that took over after Soviet Union left them. And, of course, they were harboring al-Qaeda training camps and wouldn't give over Osama bin Laden. So how do you feel about the war in Afghanistan first?
I think there's probably more justification for that. I would almost equate that with what happened in Serbia, in which the use of primarily NATO's allies haven't solved the problem, but it has brought peace to a region which has been unstable for many years. So I think there is a parallel that you could say there's some justification.
Do you feel the preemptive war against Iraq was justified?
Well, that's a big question. There haven't been, to my knowledge, no locations where the so-called weapons of mass destruction have been found. Was Saddam a tyrant and a killer of thousands of people and oppressors? Absolutely. Was the best way of solving the problem by invading? It's not clear.
Yes, he was a tyrant, and of course there are many other tyrants and dictators around the world killing their own people, and of course we're not going after them, we went after him.
North Korea, for example. You haven't invaded North Korea yet. Ostensibly, they're on the same level as Saddam Hussein.
Do you think we will find weapons of mass destruction?
I think it's doubtful now.
We were told originally in our media that and by our president directly and his staff, that there were weapons of mass destruction, that not only did they know of it, they knew where they were. And of course, now many of us feel we were lied to, but for some odd reason, we don't care being lied to now.
I can pick out, and I'm sure you can, at least 10 or 20 instances in the last few years where the CIA or the FBI has said there is such and such evidence of something, and subsequently it has not been the case, that basically people have wanted to believe things and therefore they've gone ahead on the basis that something exists without fully checking it out. I think big perception here is that the war on terrorism was linked with Iraq on a kind of false premise. I don't think there's been much, if any, evidence to say that al-Qaeda...
Believe it or not, 70%. Yeah, 70% of Americans still believe Saddam Hussein had something to do with the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
Absolute nonsense. I've seen nothing that would justify that belief at all.
Except our administration has been hinting at it for so long.
Absolutely. But again, I made reference a few minutes ago to things that you want to believe,
right,
which are not necessarily true. And I think that's a really crucial thing, that they really confuse two things and misled the population of the U.S.
So most Britons, you would say, still think Saddam Hussein had something to do with the terrorist attacks?
No, I think he had nothing to do with al-Qaeda. I think he was a repressive, nasty dictator who liked being a thorn in the American side, but I don't think he had anything to do with 9/11, and nor do I think most people in Britain think that.
In your opinion, then, why would the Bush administration, and more importantly, Tony Blair, go after him at this point?
Well, the perception in politics is you have to do something. Saddam was an easy target. He was a known problem, a thorn in the side. Let's go get him.
Easily that, defeatable, yes.
Absolutely, and that will allay the outcry as who perpetrated this crime, 9/11. They can't find the people who did it, so let's do something else. It's kind of distraction technique.
That's a very brilliant observation. That's a good one. Well, let's jump back to Tony Blair. Now, to be blunt, most of the people in America consider him to be Bush's poodle. Except, of course, for the conservatives. If weapons of mass destruction, which is something he really jumped onto as justification, if they're never found, how do you think this will affect Tony Blair's career, his prime ministership?
Well, a lot of people are exceedingly upset about him following the American line. I guess I'm a New Labour supporter, so I may have a slightly different slant on it. I think Tony Blair's an honourable man. I don't think there are too many in politics. That doesn't mean he's always right. He certainly is often wrong. But I think he tries to do things in the light of what he sees. So I think he tried to be part of the conflict and to help America, and also to, if you like, not control, but guide America.
The big brother.
Or the little brother, maybe. Tugging at the shorts of the big brother, saying, just let's not do that right now. And I think he probably had, certainly in terms of delaying tactics to when the war happened, I think. And also his attempts to make America at least bring in further allies. Now, that didn't happen. I think so it came down to the short straws in the end. Well, okay, no Nazis going to get involved. Do we step aside or do we get involved and try and bring matters to a satisfactory climax? And I think he chose that course.
In America, the media coverage of the war was just amazingly one-sided. It was very biased pro-war, because for whatever reasons, whether it's for ratings points, because we love a good fireworks show.
No, all wars are reported by the home side, you know. There's no such thing as objective reporting in war.
How was media coverage over here in the UK?
Well, again, it focused on things that the British were engaged in, and concern about British casualties, and then the American situation subsequently. So each nation cares for its own.
Do you think the world is becoming a safer or more hostile place?
I think more hostile, but not necessarily in terms of crude terrorist activities, although there may well be some more of those. I went to a talk by the Indonesian Prime Minister quite a few years ago now. And
just to remind all of our listeners, Indonesia is a very successful Muslim-based country. That's just want to let you know, they're not all crazy.
It hasn't always been stable in recent years, but he was, I think, an enlightened leader. And he said in his talk, one of the things that stuck with me is, the way to succeed as a country is to make sure that the countries around you succeed, not to focus on your own, but to focus on what you can do for others, because that way you will benefit.
Pretty liberal thought.
Very liberal thought, but it's also a very practical thought. And I think that attitude would do well, play well in some American hearts. And I think Powell understands that. But I don't think his masters do.
Unfortunately, as a very respected leader, I don't think he has a career after this.
No, but you see, he's a soldier, and he knows what works and what doesn't work. And it's always the same. It's the politicos that make the decision to go to war and allocate the resources, and they have very little grasp of what warfare is about. I would love to see a change in politics and see a Democratic candidate win. I don't think it's going to happen, because the economy has improved, as I understand, slightly in the States. And I think for there to be a change in president, just like Bush's father, he left after one term because the economic downturn happened. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't want the economic downturn to happen, but I would love to see a change to a Democratic candidate in the Bill Clinton mode without the zip.
Well said. Hey, once again, Hugh, thanks for joining us on BCR Network Radio. Hope you have a great 2004.
Thanks a lot.